Good morning, church. Twice a year, once at Pentecost and once the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we open up our sermon time for everyone to preach. Do you know that a true sermon is testimony, and a true testimony is a sermon? And the whole Bible, in fact, is just a series of testimonies. That's why we call it the Older Testimony and the Newer Testimony. And what it means to be a Christian today is to testify today to what God is doing in our lives. So it can be centered around the theme of Thanksgiving, but not necessarily. But we invite congregation members to share, hopefully no more than 3 minutes, so that as many people as would like can have a chance to share something about what's happening in your life. So who'd like to come up and talk about how the Holy Spirit is moving in your life?
I guess Amanda's not here, so I get to go first.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell her I said that.
And please introduce yourself. Introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm Daryl, Kendra's dad, Daniel's father-in-law, and husband of Nancy. Two things. I was looking into something, and I was looking into how big a mole is. Do you remember what a mole is from chemistry? It's the measurement of the number of molecules in a cubic centimeter. It's about the size of the end of your thumb there. If you think it's about a trillion, can you just put up your hand? Or no, if you think it's more than a trillion, put up your hand. More than, okay, that wasn't very many of you. If you think it's more than a million trillion, a million trillion things, molecules in the size of your thumb, a million trillion, if you think it's more than that, put up your hand. Wow. And if you think it's more than a trillion, put up your hand. Oops, it's not quite. It's about two thirds of that. But you think about, my dad had me make a million ticks in a book once. And that's a lot of ticks. And a million times a million is a trillion. And there's almost a trillion molecules in that space. Then that's molecules. Molecules are made of atoms. Atoms are made of neutrons, you know, and the other things. Yeah. And it just blows my mind. We make God little. That is just so many things. In that space, you multiply it by the size of the ocean, multiply that by the size of the earth, by the size of the galaxy. Anyone know how many galaxies there are? Estimated. Loud. They said 100 billion that we can see with the Hubble telescope, 200 billion, they estimate. 200 billion galaxies, and a galaxy has 200 billion stars. So you think of all those little parts, trillion times how many of those in a galaxy? Friggin'. And God is bigger than that, or anyway, when the Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made, wasn't it? Won't use the word. Wasn't kidding. As I think about that, it kind of blows my mind. Anyway. And if you need another testimony.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Professor Allen.
Did you know that 3 seconds is approximately 1 billionth of a century? So I have about 120 billionths of a century to tell you his testimony. Well, my name's David. I've been going here since February, March. And things are good. I think I'm coming off of having bronchitis for 2-3 months, so that's always nice when that gets done with for the year. Work is going well, and I started working at Minnesota Math Corps 2.25 years ago, and it's great work. It's work I really enjoy doing, but it doesn't really pay very well. And I tutor on the side to help make ends meet. But about a year, 2 years ago, I was doing all right, but then I realized I owed $1,300 in taxes, and that kind of punctured a hole in my bubble. And I got stuck playing a game that I played too much of. And a week ago, I stopped playing that game. And I'm really enjoying life more now. And that's a good news for me. Thank you.
Amen. Okay. Ju pushed you, right? Okay. Good job, Ju.
Oops. Hey, good morning, church. I'm Amanda Rangham. Most of you know me. Sounds like Daryl Allen already did my job this morning, so I actually have nothing left to say or do. Normally, Daryl and I take turns warming up the microphone and setting the low bar so everybody else feels like it's going to be no big deal to come up here. I didn't really think of anything special to say today, but there's a couple thoughts that are kind of rattling around in my brain. This is, I think, the 8th anniversary of when my husband and I first visited Cannes. It's been really a journey for our family, and just, you know, it's hard actually to go back to our original testimony and revive that every year because it feels so far away and so foreign to who we are today. So I'm just so thankful for this church as our family and who we are today versus who we were when we first walked through the doors. And that's the short version. Other things I'm thankful for. Yesterday, I think, was the 18th anniversary of when I first met my husband, Steve. So that's kind of cool. We were 16 and long-distance sweethearts, and I don't know, there's a long story there, but I just, if you know my husband, Steve, he's an elder on session here. He's one of the best men, I think, on the face of the planet. And I just am so thankful for my relationship with him and who he is as a friend and a father and a leader in this congregation. Just so thankful for what this congregation has given us relationally, but also has given him and then given back to me. Circular. Also, last year on Testimony Sunday, I announced to the whole congregation that I was pregnant. So I am not pregnant this year on Testimony Sunday. but there is a really good reason why I was 30 minutes late to church, and that's the sleeping baby girl back in the pew back there. And I'm just so thankful for her and her life and having a healthy, healthy little girl who's 4 months old today. And I think the other thing that maybe I would just share with the congregation, because I really believe in kind of openness and authenticity, is we got, most of you, many of you know that my father passed away about 2 years ago, and we got the final payment from his very small estate. They were actually able to finally get the money out of his bank account in Belize probably about a month and a half ago, but it was about exactly the right amount for us to finish paying off all of our student loan debt. So we cleared all of that out a couple of weeks ago and closed out kind of a emotional chapter financially too with my relationship with my dad and all of that story. So that's been kind of going on in our lives as well. So those are kind of some rattly thoughts, but I am very thankful for this church, thankful for this congregation, thankful for the life that we get to live with you in it. And I love all of you, and happy Thanksgiving.
Amen. Our very dear friend, Bob Klanderud, so glad to have you here.
Good morning. I've not come up for this kind of situation before, so I don't really know what protocol is. I somehow always feel when I come into a church, moved by the spirit of the people in here, and that's why I keep coming here, is I'm very moved by all of you people, each and every one of you, whether you come frequently or just ever so often. So I get really strengthened in my life by seeing you in your lives and hearing the preaching of all you dedicated people. And I just wanted to say, sometimes I get really overwhelmed by the generosity of humanity. And each and every one of you don't even know me, but support me, love me, hold me up, accept me, help me in my life. So I'm standing here able to testify to the love of God and Christ that I find through you people and learn how to live my life accordingly. So red, yellow, black, and white, we're in here together. And a lot of prayers. I feel all those prayers, and I get strengthened by that. Even when I don't come on Sundays, my mind can be here, and I know a majority of you people will be here, and I get encouraged by that to persevere in my life, no matter what's going on, good or difficult, just to walk through each day. So I'm just taking opportunity of this moment. I guess this is what you do, is come forward. But even since I was a small child, maybe Aaron's age, whenever they said, whenever I went to a church with my grandmother, she was a Norwegian grandmother, Clara Klanderud, very tall, 6'2", Norwegian lady, very strong in spirit, body, and as a human. I get a lot of strength from her. And she would come and find me and take me to church. And somehow, whenever the pastor would be up there, and now all you sinners come forward to the pulpit. Jeez, I always ended up there. And then I'd open my eyes and turn around and I'm like, am I the only sinner in here? So I want to thank you for your forgiveness, for your supreme and ultimate love and strength of spirit that you bestow on us. And I'm just taking this opportunity, since I've come to know you all, to just say thank you. I don't know how in my life I thought, well, if I ever get financially in a position where I could host a big feast, I certainly would like to do that for you all. And I just feel that way about you. So I want to thank the Holy Spirit for bringing us here today in this moment of time. At this time is when a lot of Christians come together on this day, Sunday. So it's almost 10 o'clock, according to that clock. I think it's later than that. But at this moment in time, I'm going to have a fond memory of standing in the Church of All Nations with Pastor Jen behind me and all you dedicated people to remember through the cold winter. So I thank you so much and say
amen.
Morning, church. I'm Dan, or Daniel. I've been coming here since February 2013, and I'm married to Kendra. And on Friday, a colleague of mine told me that she and her husband are separating. They've been together for 14 years, married for 9. And I think yesterday, Kendra had a really hard day. And at night, we had, you know, I don't like to call them arguments because we don't yell, we don't argue, we don't curse at each other, but I definitely feel emotions intensely and Kendra can shut down. And but we had a very intimate conversation, and it was a hard conversation. And I think because I was told on Friday about this couple who's breaking up, as I was listening to Kendra crying in bed, and I put my arm on her, you know, there were multiple things going through my head, such as, Don't try to fix it. Just listen. Don't say anything. As a therapist, as a social worker, as a human being, you know that you can't fix it. So you just have to endure the pain. And then the other part of me was thinking, feeling angry, and thinking, will I ever get tired of being there for her? Will I ever get tired of listening to her? Will I ever lose my patience? Will I ever get tired of being in this marriage? And then the third of it, which is if you have kids, cover your ears or their ears, was thinking, ooh, once this argument's gone or done, we'll have awesome makeup sex, because that's what typically happens. So, but I say that because I think this church has taught me the power of confession. You know, shame needs three things to grow, which are silence, secrecy, and judgment. And I think rather than keeping those thoughts to myself, I just decided to own them up and confess and tell Kendra where I was at and what I was feeling. And I think that allowed us to like move forward and heal and understand each other and really understand that marriage is hard. You know, we don't feel like we've had a really difficult marriage at all, but marriage is hard. Because it's a lifelong journey, because it is a choice. And so, you know, so we're fairly new to this, but I think through this church, I've really embraced the power of confession and just owning up to your crap and just making it known so that people can help you, people can support you, people can really see you for who you are and really challenge you to grow. So I'm thankful to be here.
Amen.
Morning, everybody. My name is Steve. I've known Pastor Jin for over the last 8 years. I've frequented this church up until a year ago almost. I lived a very dark life, and I went into treatment at Teen Challenge to change my life. It's a faith-based program. It's a year long. I did 7 months. God taught me a lot in that time, that with patience and acceptance of no matter what you've done in the past, He forgives you. And over the last 2 months since I've been out, I've come a lot closer with Pastor Jin. I plan on being at this church every week. My grandkids want to come. The Lord has put so many blessings in front of me over the last 2 months that they would have never came my way. I just, you know, it's awesome going from where I was a year ago and getting out 2 months ago and all that has happened or come to me. It's just amazing, and I want to thank the Lord for that. And I know Pastor Jin has a very good and kind heart, and I believe that he shows that through this church also. So I feel that I want to thank all you guys also, and I hope that you'll welcome me. Thanks, Pastor Jin.
Thank you, Steve. Welcome.
Good morning, church. I'm Shane Long. I'm the deacon of couples ministry. This is my first time testifying publicly. I used to be a pastor, but I'm guessing this is going to be a bit more challenging. My wife and I have been at Cannes for about 4.5 years and very grateful for this community. We kind of helped lead the couples ministry. We had a great gathering yesterday. But this last year for me has been particularly challenging professionally. I have 3 jobs to provide for our family. Renee goes to grad school and takes care of our kids and educates them at home, which means the bulk of our financial responsibilities are due to me. And God has already always provided, but just this last year has been particularly challenging with many dynamics in 2 of my jobs, and that's resulted in some pretty significant financial challenges. And there have been periods of anxiety that I've had around those, which we've been talking with Pastor Gene about. But I'm here to testify today that, you know, without this community, I think things would be much worse for me in anxiety. It's very easy with the logic of individualism to feel like one is failing when you struggle with providing as you would like to for your family. And For a long time, I felt like that was my responsibility. But when I'm in this community, I know it is not just my responsibility. We have a family that looks out for us and provides for us and will be there for us if we do break. And the thing I've come to kind of hate about the logic of individualism and capitalism and things like that is that it kind of breeds this fear and panic and anxiety so that we are preoccupied with things that really, on the grand scheme of things, do not matter, like our house and our bills. And we are kept from keeping activated about things like what are happening in North Minneapolis or Syria or in our, even our own neighborhoods. And so when I get freed to find strength through this community and through my wife and through our friends and through my cell group and couples ministry, my spirit is kind of exercised, or the fears are exercised, so that I can find empowerment to give my prayers, give the energy I can to serve in the ways that I can to those other causes that I really stand for. And I know I couldn't do that without this community. So I'm thankful to be a leader here in the way that I can, to serve and to learn as I can. And I know that our family would not be where we're at without this church. And so we're very grateful for that. Thank you.
Amen.
Good morning, church. I'm Lane. I typed this out because otherwise I have a real tendency to ramble and carry on, so I typed this out. It's kind of short on details because I just wanted to give an overview, but I want to share this. In March 2014, a little over 1.5 years ago, my then 41-year-old sister Linda in California suffered a major heart attack and stroke. I quickly went to California. And for the first 10 days that I was there, Linda's condition was unstable in Stanford University Hospital's ICU. She rarely opened her eyes, and when she did, they were glossy and yellow and unknowing. And to me, they looked not far from death. I remember asking God one thing. Just one request that I could communicate one last time with Linda. Not through spoken word, even, as that seemed totally impossible, but that we could communicate just one more time with clear, knowing eyes. On the 12th day after heart attack and stroke, the doctors thought she'd developed pneumonia, and so they immediately moved her to an isolation room to do the test for pneumonia. I clearly remember one doctor coming in and sitting and talking to me and Linda's husband, Rob, and just kind of telling us things did not look good. And I could tell that he was just trying to have that initial talk of preparing for the worst. However, the test revealed no presence of pneumonia. And I remember walking into Linda's hospital room the next morning, and she greeted us with bright, knowing eyes. And my prayer had been answered. She immediately started to turn the corner, and Linda's recovery over the past 1.5 years has been slow, with ups and downs, but and setbacks and gains. But her life continues to be a blessing to her husband, their 3 children, her siblings, her parents, and her church family. In January of this year, Linda was placed on the heart transplant list, but her need for a new heart was not immediate. 5 weeks ago, her energy level began to drastically decline, and she entered Stanford Hospital's ICU, and they told her she would not be leaving until she was able to receive a heart transplant. And she waited for 3 weeks for that heart transplant, and nothing came along. And so they decided they were going to have to do a different procedure because of her condition, and not a heart transplant, but an implant of kind of like a so-called mechanical heart. She was in the operating room and under anesthesia, and the doctor was within minutes of beginning the operation. And he received a phone call on his cell phone saying that a heart had come available. So 2 weeks ago, she received a donor's heart and is recovering without any major complications. I thank God for extending Linda's life for however long that may be. I thank the donor and the donor's loved ones for giving the gift of life to a complete stranger. I thank the surgeons, doctors, nurses, chaplains, and all other care providers at Stanford University Hospital. I thank Linda for continuing to live a faith-filled life, for continuing to care for and love others. I thank Linda's husband's family and their church family for all the care and support they've provided her. And I thank all of you for your past and future prayers of support. Thank you.
Amen.
My name is Chung Hee Chung. I am the oldest guy of the church. My voice has changed as I got old, but the same person. Please allow me to read my testimony. I have even title of the writing. What does Ken mean to me? Last year, my wife and I were invited to a Christmas dinner by St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in White Bear Lake area. It was a beautiful mega church, but we were somewhat uncomfortable because we were the only two Asians surrounded by all Caucasians. Several weeks ago, we went to our Korean mother church in Brooklyn Center to listen to the witnesses of a woman defector from North Korea. We were expected familiarity with the Korean congregation, but we did not feel at home there either. Our former monocultural mother church now looked rather distant to me, as if I was trying on different shoes. I began to think, if I go to the heavenly kingdom, would it be like this church, filled with all Koreans? No, I said, I will probably see the same mixed color faces as in our church. As the oldest guy of the church, I am still adjusting myself to this church, Ken, but I am most accustomed to this faith community since I migrated to this country. Thank you.
Amen.
I'm Lori Mogstadt, and I'm married to Corey, who was playing the guitar up here, and our son, Jaren, is 13, and our daughter is in Cool Kids, and she's 10. This week has been a little bit of an emotional week for our family, really going through, for me personally, some internal conflict between my upbringing and my conscience. And I can't help but also, the underlying question behind it all for me has been, what is my child's upbringing going to be? And which one of these two internal conflicts is going to win? My upbringing or my conscience? And so I want to thank those of you who are on this journey of trying to figure out how also to be white but reject white supremacy. And I also want to thank you that represent generations of being oppressed. And thank you for being here and letting us hear your story and heal along with you in this process.
Amen. Are we done or are we just hungry? There's always someone who wanted to go, but just waiting to make sure everybody else went, because that's how Minnesotans are. Is there anyone who would like to speak before we move on with our service? I knew it.
So at about 6 o'clock in the morning, I said to Daryl, you got your testimony figured out? I'm Nancy Allen, by the way, married to Daryl, mother-in-law of Daniel and mother of Kendra. I said, do you got your testimony figured out? And he goes, of course I do. And so as one who struggles a little bit more with what to come, I got lots in my heart, but what to say. I am very grateful for this church, for this body of believers, and I really appreciate Elder Chung's expression of that just a moment ago, and thinking we look at what this body looks like, and I think it is a reflection of what God would want us to have in our worship family. But for me personally, I remember, you know, growing up and thinking that by the time I reached middle age, whatever that was, that we'd have stuff figured out. You know, I watched people and you didn't know what was going on in their lives and their struggles and thought, you know, financially and all kinds of things that, you'd have it all figured out. Well, I think I'm probably at middle age and, Daryl's going, yep. And, married for 33 years, which I'm really, really thankful for. But, we don't have it all figured out. And I just, you know, three kids married, which is awesome, really wonderful celebration this past year. And now it's like time, you have time to settle down and start thinking about things and realize there's still a lot of room for personal growth. And I just want to, acknowledge that and thank you all for your prayers and your support as we, each one of us, continue to grow personally and with my cell group, with Maggie and Lori and Liz and Anna and Amy and Lacey, as we just struggle together to understand what it is to really share our lives and who we are and realize that we're not perfect. For me, looking like everything was all together has always been kind of, you know, it's like, that's what you have to do. Daryl's never struggled with that, and you probably figured that out. But working it out and growing and realizing that it's all part of our spiritual journey, and I'm just so thankful to be on that spiritual journey with each one of you.
Amen. Thank you, Nancy, for those words. I would just add, I don't think even God has it all figured out, right? God is sovereign and God is eternal, but God is in process with us. And when I read the witness of the scriptures, how often God is surprised. Can a God who knows everything be surprised? God is often surprised and astonished, and God regrets regularly in the scriptures. And then God regrets regretting, right? God says, oh, I regret making human beings at all. There's so much trouble. And then God regrets that he had that regret. But I believe in God and I trust in God because God walks with us. And God's love endures forever. And this is the only promise, I think, that we can be assured of. Not that God will fix all our problems, but that God will love us to eternity. That's the good news for me. That's the good news here. And that's based on that promise. It's a kind of promise we make to each other, that we will love each other until God comes again in Jesus Christ. So I also thank you for your love for me and your witness as the people of God, and our enduring faithfulness and willingness to walk with each other all these years. Just in a few weeks, we'll celebrate our 12th anniversary. In no time at all, our congregation will be a teenager. And man, we're going to have a wild ride the next few years as we enter that phase. And God will be with us. And we will be with each other. What good news that is. And I'm so thankful to God for each one of you, for this congregation which is my heart, my life, my joy. I'm so proud of this congregation. I'm so proud to be your pastor. I'm not going anywhere, so please, you don't either, unless you're called by God. And let's talk about that before you hear that voice alone. Let's pray.